You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
Yay! Hey guys, we are back. If you're tuning in right now, this is the AfterBuzz After Show for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And we just want to apologize. We know that we weren't in last week, and it's been a little crazy, but we're back, and we thank you for your support. We love the tweets. We love, you know, all the comments, and let's just get right into it, okay? So I'm just going to go around the table really quickly. To my left,
I'm Grant Rutter. Hello, everyone. Good to be back.
Hello, I'm Lauren Leonelli. We're doing two episodes for you guys tonight.
Yes, two episodes. And I'm Deanna Vaughn. And we want to encourage you guys, call in. Let's see here. What else can they do?
Tweet.
All right, we're just going to dig right into it because we have two juicy episodes to cover. So we want to make sure we give you guys a great show. All right, so let's recap last week. The blonde drops a bombshell.
First of all, I just have to say something about this blonde, and we always talk about this. What the heck is she? How does she own a hair salon? First of all, her dye job is horrible, and the fall that she wears in her hair looks like a horsetail.
Oh my gosh.
It's distracting.
There is a horse in Central Park running around with no tail because it's in that woman's head.
I don't get that. She's super tacky. Anyway.
She's going to hate herself when she watches these episodes because that's how she's going to... That's her 15 minutes.
I'm pretty sure she thinks she looks good, Grant.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Yeah. You're right. I mean, Kim D hasn't fixed a thing.
Well, we're going to get to Penny a little bit later because she is the blonde that drops the bombshell. But this episode was all about events. So Kathy did her appearance at Dylan's. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the people were. And then who else had an event? Jacqueline had her speech for autism. Mm-hmm. Now, we know Jacqueline and Teresa, they're like new besties again.
I don't know.
This is where they are. Yeah. Great, fine. Now, do you find it a little strange that Jacqueline seeks out Teresa's help for writing a speech when Teresa probably has less mastery of the English language than Twitter? What do we think about that?
Totally agree, Deanna. And in fact, Chris thought it was absolutely hilarious. He tried to keep his cool in his interview. He's like, and you know, Teresa is helping her. And then he just started laughing like that. It was, and when, you know, when they ended up showing Teresa help her out, Teresa was at a loss for words, like, as per the usual.
As usual.
Yep. Jacqueline's speech ended up being nice and heartfelt, and she cried, and it was the message was nice, but it made me feel very worried about how this was all going to go down, because she was so nervous, and then Teresa's input did not seem good, so it was like, this speech is going to be disastrous. It was good, though.
Yeah, every word is one syllable.
Yeah, she's like, oh, Jacqueline, I'm nervous for you. Like, that's like 2 minutes before she's about to go up. She's nervous for her. It's like, I don't know, it wasn't sabotaging, but it was not
But
very
Teresa
good to
always
say.
Says the stupidest stuff. I'm sorry.
Know.
She and sometimes I'll say I do feel like maybe her heart is trying to be in the right spot, but she says some really dumb stuff sometimes. And you're like, okay, you just made that you made yourself look guilty, or you made her feel bad, or just whatever. She needs to think before she.
Luckily, I don't fear speaking in public, but I don't understand what was so nauseating and so awful that having to make that speech in front of, you know, most of the people that were like family and friends.
Well, I mean, but you have to give in that like some people have an issue with speaking in front of large groups of people. So
it wasn't really a large group for what they showed, like over the shoulder. And
well, she also did
100
say,
people.
I get what you're saying, but she, and some people just, it doesn't matter. It could be 20 people.
It could be two. Yeah.
But she, I think what she said she was nervous about was that she feels like she's representing this thing that's like bigger than she is. And what if she says the wrong thing and people are going to judge her? Also, you know, Jacqueline, she's a very nervous person. Right. And so she's just wound tight anyway. I think that would make her nervous. Plus the pressure of what she's talking about.
And to her credit, credit at something so personal that to have to, you know, unleash something that you've been dealing with to just put it out there and, and you don't want to be judged for something like that. All right, I get you.
They ended up raising $3,000 for the autism. I think it was Autism Speaks is what they were
that
doing.
Was it was called.
And so that was nice. And she ended up getting it out. And I think that was, you know, it ended up being a success. But the road to it seemed like it was going to be a little bumpy. But it was good to see her succeed.
And I'd like to think that the silver lining out of all of it was just the fact that she felt the comfort level to be able to reach out to Teresa and say, hey, help me.
Yeah.
You know, come over. And because those two haven't been in that place for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it was nice
to be there, you know, and even we saw it with this past episode, you know, she said, Lucy and Ethel are back, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was the silver lining, even though it might have not been the best choice of getting help.
Right.
All right, moving on. So let's talk about Melissa and her singing
and Johnny
career.
Wright.
Yeah.
There's a lot to say.
Well, it's here's what I have to say, because obviously we've seen her, you know, she's had singles before, she's had performances before on past seasons, but it's amazing to see now how much auto-tune was really involved.
Well,
I mean, I'm just going to lay it out.
It was a certain type of music she did. It wasn't, she wasn't doing a ballad. She wasn't doing, you know, she wasn't really singing.
You're saying that, Deanna, because we saw her, she met with Johnny Wright. He laid down the law and was like, look, you want to do this, you're a wife and a mother. Well, the music industry doesn't give a crap about your kids and your time, so you're going to have to sacrifice time. And she was a little wishy-washy about it. They come to her. Mm-hmm. They go in the studio. She puts down this, they write this song. They're like, you haven't had memorized yet? She's like, I've only had a day. Well, so this was already starting off on the bad foot. She goes to sing it. Clearly, she's nervous.
Right.
And I'm not a singer, but I know that singing takes breath and air. And when you're nervous, you don't breathe. So it's like she's already had these things working against her. She goes to sing, and she... That's what you mean when we say the auto-tune comes into play, because you are hearing her now without auto-tune. You're just hearing her studio voice.
Raw studio voice.
And it wasn't that great.
Well, she hasn't had any professional training, so you have, you know, you have to look at that.
But whose fault is that? I mean, I guess when it comes to Melissa and her music and her training, I feel like you have this amazing platform with this show known as The Real Housewives.
Yeah, take some voice lessons.
Exactly. Take some lessons, because this is, just like I said before, this isn't her first time out, you know?
Yeah.
This is... What she started the singing career, I want to say
two years ago.
So get some lessons, you know, on and off camera.
I think that she has somewhat of a talent she is born with. I don't know that it's extraordinary. Like, you know, well, there are singers that are born and their voices are just, they open their mouth and you're like, wow.
Where did that come from?
That's great. She's not one of those, but I think if she got some training,
on it.
She could be okay. If you like that type of music, I don't.
These last two episodes, she really made the choice that this was going to be her career, where I thought this was kind of something for fun. Like, she's capitalizing off The Real Housewives. She can make a few club appearances, but she wants to make this, like, she wants to be really legit. If she wouldn't go to someone like Johnny Wright just to do, like, a club song every couple of years, I mean, excuse me, every couple of months. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, she's a woman of a certain age, and I'm not knocking her age like Teresa
did. That comment sounds familiar.
Talk about that one.
But, I mean, you know, she's a mother of three, and I said this last time, the way I commented on something she was doing with drinking. She's a mother of three, and it's like, you know, sometimes that ship has sailed, and I think that might be it. And I think if she wants to do a club song, like, that's probably her best bet.
Well, listen, let's be real. Melissa doesn't need to work. You know, she's a mother of three. Her husband does well. She doesn't need to work. So, you know, when she says, I want to do this as a career, to me, I don't know. It seems like a trumped up hobby.
It does. And this is another thing, and I don't know details about this, but from what I'm guessing, she also has written a book. Well, that I feel like is something that you can do, but there's so many other things that go into it that other people put the work in to make that happen.
Right.
She's writing the words, but she's got an editor, and there's a publisher, and there's all these things going on that make that book happen. So the effort that she has to put in is minimal compared to becoming a singer. And the time and all the stuff that that takes, that's her and her body and her voice, and she physically needs to be there. Mm-hmm. And launching a song or an album and touring and doing press and all of that stuff takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And there's no way. It's just a different thing than a book. I feel like she's had some things come to her and they were handed to her, and because of the show she's on, it's very easy for her to put them out there. This is, I think, on another level, and I don't think she's, I personally don't think she's ready for the time that it's going
to
take.
It's a life commitment. And I agree. It's just not, she's not in that time in her life when she can commit herself to that. That's a whole career path that starts off at a young age.
Well, and let's be real. If it weren't for the show, she wouldn't have access to people like Johnny Wright, period.
No way.
Based off of where she is, you know, with her level of, you know, preparedness, you know, to be able to do that.
Now, let me ask you about Johnny Wright. Do you think that he's doing this to really kind of flourish her career, or is this just exposure?
I don't know. Why does he need exposure, though? Everyone knows who he is.
To me, this is produced by the show. I think let's get, like, a big-time name on here to support her career.
But, well, he wastes his time. He's so legit.
He's getting paid.
Okay, but he's so legit. He's going to have to...
How much could they be paying him, though, for him to, for this to be something... He would have to be getting paid a lot of money, I feel like.
Well, I mean, you can get paid in different ways, you know? Look at all the different artists and the people that he represents, you know? Payment could come in a form of, you know, I help out, you know, on Melissa on this show, then maybe one of my artists that's coming up, you're playing their song. Like,
well, this is what I wonder too. Mm-hmm. I also wonder if Johnny Wright has his hand laid in a bunch of different areas, like with that radio station. Is he investing in that? Is that giving him money in return because he feeds people into this radio station? Then that radio station puts a show on, and then that person becomes famous and pumps money out and gives it back to Johnny Wright. Like, I feel like there's a system happening there.
Well, when it comes to radio, because I have a couple friends who used to work in radio in New York, and that's kind of like how it works. You know, there's certain radio stations that are typically known for launching music, launching new artists, and they have this amazing reputation in the radio industry. So if you can get in, you know, with these different, you know, listening parties at these stations, that's kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Z100 is one of those stations, and I guess it's one that he works with in Florida.
106.7.
Exactly, is another one. So I think that's just kind of how the industry works. I wish if there's somebody listening out there who can give us, you know, some more insight, that would be great. Call in. But, I mean...
Yeah, I want to know what's in it for him. Yeah. I want to know. Because I don't think he's seeking her out just to make her a star.
I don't think he's seeking her out. I think the show definitely sought him out. You know, the same way with Real Housewives of Atlanta and Kim Zolciak. Mm-hmm. You know, remember she was working with Dallas Austin. She was working with all those amazing names in music. And she couldn't sing worth a blip. You know what I mean? Come on.
I think it's just like, let's see how much money we can pump out of a couple songs and call it a day. Let's face it. I don't think Melissa's going to be the next Britney Spears. She's just not. That ship has sailed.
Anyway,
sorry.
She seems to think that she is going to do it.
Let her, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
She seems to think that she's, like, on the path. Well, she's going to be, you know, they were listing in sync the Jonas Brothers, and now Melissa Gorga. She thinks she's the next one.
I don't know. I don't think she should, you know, rest on her laurels with that.
No. I mean, have fun with it, but I wouldn't make it a career.
Yeah. Moving on. So let's talk about Kathy. Now, this whole... Oh, my God. I just got really dizzy.
Oh.
Lauren.
Poor Deanna. There's something in the air here,
there's
folks.
Something in the air.
All of us
really
are
dizzy.
Like, ooh. No, Kathy... Well, let's just say, Kathy and her cannolis, I think it was awesome that she... Take a deep breath, Deanna. For those watching, she's breathing deeply. For those listening, she's breathing deeply.
Right.
No, Kathy had her cannolis. She got offered to go to Dylan's Candy Bar, and everyone was supposed to come, and she personally invited everyone. Everyone showed up late, but in the process, she's trying to get all the things out the door, the cannolis and the signs and the cards, and Rich is dropping things, and it's like a clown show. They get there, and Dylan's wants to use her product in the stores, the cannoli kits. She's showing how to do them. People are trying
them.
Well,
can I interrupt for a second? Let's be real. Dylan's wants the Real Housewives, you know, the celebrity. That's what I walked away with. That woman ran up to Kathy.
She was like, where are your people? We're full, but where's everyone? Where's your friends and family?
Everyone meaning, you know, the cast. That's what they meant.
And it's kind of like, come on, she had a full house. Why do you care if there's like four people there? But anyway, so, you know, it ended up being a success for Kathy. She ended up getting in to Dylan's Candy Bar with her cannolis that are there. And I guess maybe, you know, there's other locations like in LA and Florida that she's looking at. But as of now, she's in. Everyone came, her friends and family came, but it was just later, and of course she let them know that she's disappointed, And also speaking of her at Dylan's Candy Bar, Teresa, in the beginning of the episode, just to touch on for a second, we saw her, she has her new skinny Italian little showroom for, you know, grocery stores to come in and look at all her pastas and stuff. I'm sorry, but I just think that skinny Italian sounds a little bit like skinny girl, Bethany Frankel. What is going on? In my opinion.
Those two, actually, they had their moment, I believe that it was like a year ago, about the same subject.
Yeah.
Like skinny Italian, skinny girl.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
There's like one episode a season of this show where it's kind of like dedicated to all their little
their business ventures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was actually, these last two episodes really covered all of them.
And that, at the same skinny Italian little meeting in the beginning of the episode, they talk about this dinner that they're going to have with Joe and Melissa and Joe and Teresa and the mom. And they do have this dinner and they are all literally kissing and making up and talking about how great it is. Well, cut to the end of the episode, which is the best part of the episode that we should get to, where they, Melissa and Joe, go to dinner and they run into, air quotes in case you're not watching, you don't like my air quotes?
No. How set up that was.
Oh yeah, very set up. They run into Penny at the bar and...
Okay, let's just dig right into it. So first of all, I think we can all agree that that was, you know, no coincidence.
It takes you right out of it. She's right over their shoulder. Mm-hmm. They just sit down, they order, and then there she is. Oh, do you know who's here? Can you believe it? All right.
So after you get over the fact that that was completely set up and nobody's buying it, they have the conversation that we're all waiting for, where Melissa confronts Joe. Melissa starts the conversation, Joe follows, and they basically say to her, who has been telling you these things? Like, why are you tweeting these things? And she's like, it's not Jan, it's not Kim D, it's your sister. And furthermore, she is friends with me, even though she says she's not, and she's also friends with Johnny. And they're like, who's Johnny? Johnny the Greek, who has been tweeting all these horrible things about her. Johnny is her husband. So we find it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
They're freaking out and the episode ends and we don't know how they're going to react. And we're like, so.
Well, what do you guys think about that? So Penny obviously drops a huge bombshell, hence the title of that episode. I mean, do you think that anything that she has to say is credible? Do we think she's lying? Like,
At this point, to interject for a second, I think that she literally is dropping a bomb, and she's telling them that Teresa's involved. I believe her at this point now, because we're doing two episodes and we're about to get in the next one. My opinion changes a little after I see what happens in the next episode. But at this point, after watching this and this episode ended, I'm like, oh, Teresa's done. She's caught. I believed Penny at that point.
Right.
Yep. I don't see why Penny wouldn't be considered credible, because her and her husband...
She knows too much information, too.
Well, yeah, but her and her husband, what reason would they have for shade and slandering these other people? Because they're not on the show. They have no real vested interest.
Well, now they are.
I know, but... on Twitter, why would they bother wasting their time unless if there's something in it for them? And that was Teresa. They had the phone number. They're going out to lunch all the time.
Do you think Teresa's paying them? I thought about that for a second.
I don't know
if she's paying them, but here's what could be happening. I think Teresa could be promising, hey, if you do this, I will see if I can get you guys more camera time on the show.
Meaning you've got
more time to promote.
15 minutes will now be a half hour.
Exactly.
Or
you get, you know, your 15 minutes of fame gets extended.
Now you can promote your salon, your hair.
Whatever
good
you want to do.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. That's what I think might be
happening.
So let's,
To go off of that, I was wondering the same thing. And I said, well, if this husband of hers shows up, then that's the deal. Because he wants to be on the show. And so when he didn't show up, I was like, wait a minute, maybe there's something here. Maybe they're really not here for camera time, but once he was there, I knew.
Oh, for the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move into
that. Well, let's move into that. Okay, let's just go. So we'll jump around, but since we're on Penny. So, well, here's my next question. Her husband, like, why is he the fall guy sending these tweets? Like, why is somebody, you know what I mean? Like, why does he care?
If our idea about what is happening is that Teresa is feeding them this information and promising them things in return. If that's what we are right now agreeing that we think is happening, which makes sense in my mind, then he's a good a good person to be putting it out there because he's removed. He's one person removed from Penny, so it's harder to connect Johnny to Penny and then Penny to Teresa. Right. For her, it's like, okay, he's still, I mean, he's still connected in a way, and obviously they finally figured it out, but it's not as easy as just Penny giving the information.
Well, Penny was quick to give him up. She was like, oh, it's my husband. She wasn't hiding anything.
But at that point, right. she had no choice.
Yeah, she had
I mean, she really didn't have a choice, because at the end of the day, even though his Twitter handle is what, Johnny the Greek,
but why
his real name comes up, so
why
she
stop lying from now, though? I mean, she could have bought herself more time with that.
Well, here's the other thing that
all
comes up,
all she has to do
too.
Is throw things on Teresa. She doesn't need to out anything else.
I don't know, because now not only is she indicating that Teresa's responsible for all this cheating business, but also Melissa getting set up at the posh fashion show last season.
Exactly. Well, we find out in the beginning of, which is the next episode, Here We Go Again, episode 17, we find out that it's so funny that they talk about this lady's hair.
Here we go again.
I like this title for the record, because I hate it on a few of the others.
This is a good one. That's but we right. find out in the beginning of the episode that Melissa, she's in the closet with Joe, and they're doing stuff with their clothes or whatever, and they're talking about, Melissa says, I called Teresa. I asked her about this. I told her about what happened with Penny. We were supposed to confront her together, but I ran into her alone. I had to say something, and she denied all of it. So we're waiting this entire episode to get to this the end of what happens at this posh opening at the salon. But before all that happens, there's other stuff that goes down.
Well, here's what else I also think is interesting. So when Jacqueline and Teresa go into posh, and they see Kim D, and Kim D makes a statement, which I'm not surprised. She said, you know what? I don't burn bridges when it comes to, you know, people that I do business with, and meaning Penny. So Kim D right there, she's telling you outright. She's saying, look, you know, I will play the fence. I'm not going to be loyal to anybody.
As long as
my pockets, you know, and my business is doing well.
It's working for her. Working for her. She's expanding. She's moving on.
No one should trust her.
So we know that and this is another thing. We know that this end meeting at this posh opening is happening because she tells them about it. She invites them to it.
She invites
Teresa and Jacqueline to it, and she says Penny's going
to
be there.
Well, when they walked in there, I said, why are these women even going here? Why are they still talking to this woman? Why are they're not only are they there, they're giving this woman more business, more airtime.
And the clothes are awful.
Well, this is the annual season ender to every Jersey Housewives show.
They continue to go to that. They're all fools.
It's their thing.
This fashion show ends every season. Yeah, right. It's like tradition at this point.
Meanwhile, Melissa is at Johnny Wright's compound. Why do they call it a compound? That's so weird. Why don't they just call it like
an office
house or something? That always weirds me out. Anyway, and he's basically like, you are going on this radio show tomorrow that we were just talking about before, What a 6.7. You have to pitch your song to them. You have to sing it live, and then they will let you know if they want you to be in their show that they will put you up singing.
To hear them on the radio.
Yeah, and then you'll be like, it'll make you a star. So she's freaking out. She's singing with her vocal coach, and it's like she quoted sounded like a dead dog.
First of all, talk about intimidating. You know, not only are you singing live, but you just the pressure's on. She's singing live in front of, you know, fans and audience and also the radio station. So, you know, no one envies that, but I don't think she was ready.
How could you possibly be? You've had, you know, 24 hours of training.
Yeah, come on. They're pumping this out like a product, but for sure, it was kind of nice, and you thought so too, Grant, that everyone, when this did happen and she finally did go to the radio station and do the performance and everything, she was singing over a track 100%. It made her sound better than I thought. I was actually pleasantly surprised.
They needed to do that.
I was nervous about what it was going to be. It was okay. It wasn't the best, but it was better than what I thought. And everyone was having, like, Jacqueline had a listening party, and Kathy and Rich went over, and Teresa and her family were listening to it in the car. That was kind of nice.
It was really nice to see the support from everybody else.
It was a collective moment where they all came together to support one person.
Because we also saw a few flashbacks of, you know, her performances from previous seasons where the girl are like, oh my god, she's horrible. So it was nice to see that everybody's honestly supporting
Gia
her.
Gia gave her some credit. She said they're all catchy songs. So.
They are. And speaking of support, I'm jumping around a little, but I just saw this on my feverish notes I took. The Little Town opening happened too.
Yeah.
And everyone came and supported. Well, you know, Albert and Caroline were there, obviously, and Lauren, and everyone was so nervous about what Al was going to think of the food, and he ended up liking it also. Yeah. And we know now, because this is in the past, that Little Town's actually doing very well, so good for them.
I'm sure the show helps.
Of course it helps, so good for them.
And speaking of support, let's talk about lunch with a Gotti.
Speaking of support, really quick, let me say, let's we love that you guys support us on iTunes and rate and comment and you tell friends and you let us know what you're thinking. And we have some fans that tweet us all the time. And again, we apologize for not being here last week, but Chess Okalia, I hope I'm saying that right. Thank you for watching and tuning in, and Mercedes Ain as well. We are so glad you guys are listening and watching, and go on iTunes, rate and comment, keep the conversation going. And also when you're on iTunes, you can get Serial Buddies on DVD. It's super funny. Maria Menounos, our CEO, creator, the whole reason we're here at AfterBuzz is in the movie. Henry Winkler is narrating. Kathy Lee Gifford. Yep. It's like Dexter meets Dumb and Dumber. Holidays are coming up. Buy a copy. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it. You can even, like, everywhere.
Download it.
You can go to Target and get it. It's everywhere you could imagine. So if you didn't see it in the theater, own copy and support AfterBuzz. And now we will talk about support with, back to what we were saying, that I interrupt you, Teresa.
No, it's okay. I've got one more fan. Worship Emma Sawyer. Thank you so much. You tweeted, you missed us, and we're here. Thanks for your support.
Thank you.
Okay, so back to
Teresa and Victoria Gotti. Speaking of Gotti, the other Gotti, what the hell was Teresa wearing? First of all, they're in a freaking strip mall restaurant. Grant and I were dying.
I know.
And she's in a freaking purple hat and a purple fur coat. What is
that? She looks like a pimp.
She's like, you know what?
It was so over the
top. Meeting the freaking godmother of the mafia. Why don't I dress like I'm in the mafia?
But I can't think of any place that an outfit like that would be appropriate
for.
What is she doing? Where would you even find an outfit? Like, if you wanted to go and find that outfit to purchase, which I guess you'd have to go to that posh
Halloween store.
The same thing, right?
Do you find it strange that, you know, Victoria Gotti is obviously a friend of Teresa's from Celebrity Apprentice, and out of all the people that can kind of identify and understand what Teresa is going through with her family and just the indictments and all that, it would be Victoria Gotti.
Combination.
Come on. So did you think it was kind of, I don't want to say unusual, but were you kind of upset when Teresa really didn't want to talk about it?
Yeah, Teresa
never that pissed me off.
Well, it did piss me off. Grant made a good point. He said she probably can't really talk
about
it.
There's very little she can say, and we know that whatever she says, she gets in trouble for anyway.
But at the same time, while this was being filmed, there weren't any indictments out. You know what I'm saying?
Had a lawyer. He was going to trials and stuff like that.
Well, there was
hearings.
There was probably anticipation that it was going to happen, but I feel like Teresa never wants to talk about it. And yes, I feel like she's got lawyers behind her saying don't. Half the reason they're probably saying don't is because she says stupid crap all the time, and also for legal reasons. But I really get the feeling that she just Teresa likes to pretend like everything's fine all the time. She's never guilty of anything. She's never done anything wrong, and she never has any problems.
That's her character.
That's why I feel like she doesn't talk about this stuff. It's less about maybe she has a lawyer telling her not to say something, but it's more so just her not. I mean, they won't even say jail. They say going away.
Going away.
Oh, Victoria Gotti even
said
that's
what you say. That's what you say in that culture. Yeah.
She gave her good advice. So Victoria Gotti, which is like, talk to your kids. I don't know. We've talked about this and how much kids should know or not know. But I guess at this point, Gia is old enough and hearing things anyway. But she just said, hey, you got to, you know, do your best and be there for your husband. And
Gia watches the show. So someone's going to tell her the truth.
When I think it comes to kids, you know, on reality TV, they already know too much. They're watching it, you know, they're hearing about it from their friends. They're looking at tabloids. So I think everything that they hear, they should hear first from their parents, and then, you know, at least they know the truth.
I mean, Teresa had her kids on the cover of a few magazines talking about this issue not too long ago.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
Like you said, tabloids, so they still haven't told this girl yet what's happening? She must. I mean,
Teresa
said she knew of certain things, but this girl needs to know. One of them does.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, too, I have to interject for a second. Joe got a car.
Yeah.
Rich got Joe and a Jeep. And I have to make a funny comment about that, because there were balloons on the car and there was a champagne bottle.
Right.
And Kathy goes, oh, you're teaching him to drink and drive? It was funny. And then he said, I just extended your penis by 2 inches with this.
That was hilarious.
And they took down that champagne bottle the next time they showed the car. That goes right off.
What's so abundantly clear when it comes to the Wakilis, and I love them, but I think there's definitely some favoritism sexism going on when it comes to, you know, Victoria mm-hmm. and, you know, the son. Like, the boy gets everything.
Yeah.
And
I feel like Callie still doesn't have any voice in that family at all. No. She's just steamrolled. Whatever trying. The father wants to do, whatever Rich wants to do, she just goes along
and she's
with it.
That, and she often says that. She's like, I've been his right-hand man for a long time, and I'm doing my own business. She's doing her own thing. She's finding her voice. And she says that even, I was finding my voice, and now I don't have a voice. So, because she was losing her voice. And I think it was the last episode. But anyway, you know, it's nice to see their kids, you know, enjoying the car and having fun, enjoying the success of the show. And also, speaking of other kids, we hear right before we get to the posh fashion show, the main event that we're all waiting for, that now this Johnny the Greek is also going after Jacqueline and Chris Lurita, and he is
how disgusting
talking
is
about
that?
Them exploiting their son and making the whole idea of his autism isn't even real. So now, not only we're coming onto this posh event, and we have Melissa and Joe and Teresa wanting to talk to Penny. Now Jacqueline and Chris have a bone to pick too. And so let's talk about
that. Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. And I would hate to think that Teresa is behind, you know. That she's behind that. That would be
absolutely
disgusting.
I didn't even really give that a
thought.
That's disgusting.
You know what I mean? Because if she truly is behind all these other things that Penny is saying, like the cheating rumors.
It's gossip or whatever, fine. It's still
horrible. It's got to come from somewhere.
What is the motivation of this couple to have to go and say those things over Twitter?
Well, you know what?
I think it's more camera time.
Jacqueline made a good point when she was talking about, you know, you're going after my son. That's disgusting. But she also said, when I confront this woman, she's talking out of both sides of her ass, basically. She's saying, I didn't do it. None of that's true. I never tweeted about your son and his autism or whatever. And then she's saying, I was told to do it. But at that point, that's when you have to take responsibility and say, even if someone's telling me to do this, I'm now choosing to do it. So now it's my choice. So now I'm at fault.
Right.
Yeah. And Jacqueline said that, and it's true.
And it is true. And so Jacqueline confronts her.
Well, okay, yeah. Jacqueline confronts her about basically, why are you saying all this? Why are you tweeting all this? But I'm still, like, I'm trying to figure out who to fuck. Oh, I was going to say fuck.
No.
Who to believe. You know what I mean?
She did, folks. Earmuffs. Well, no, it's hard because now we're going back to where we ended the last episode.
Yep.
Where we're saying, I believed Penny at first, saying Teresa's telling them to do these things. Now we've got what you're saying, Grant, is what's the motivation behind it, A, and B, mm-hmm. now you're going, hold on, Teresa's like completely denying this. This Penny woman does seem a little, and so does her husband. What's happening? I feel like now I don't know that I necessarily believe that it's Teresa.
Well, here's the thing though, because remember, what was it, 2 episodes ago when Teresa was like, hey, Penny, I don't know you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you. Remember, she made such a big point in, you know, interjecting in that conversation saying, Penny, I don't know you. And for Penny to come back and say, no, I know Teresa. I got her home number. I got her cell number. Well, like,
you get a home and cell phone number? I mean, that's a good point, but you could also probably...
All right, here's my view. This is my view on the whole thing. Teresa went to this couple. She asked for them to, you know, to pull a few
things. Expose some things.
For Melissa, you know, shake things up. And then they were getting more and more traction with this, with whether it be followers or airtime, whatever, as mm-hmm. slowly progressed.
Snowballed.
And then, you know, she came in and she said, all right, you know, Teresa said, all right, don't do it anymore. But of course, Teresa's not going to come in and lay down the law. So then those two just kept rolling mm-hmm. with it, and it got out of Teresa's control, and now it's out of everybody's control.
So you think Teresa started it?
I do.
She has ill intentions, clearly.
Yeah, I think she kicked it off.
I agree.
It was never supposed to be this big, mm-hmm. and that's why Teresa can never come in and say she had anything to do with it, because then she'll be responsible for this much, which is like I'm showing a lot,
right?
Versus very, very little.
Well, then Melissa comes in and confronts her. So, you know, Jacqueline says what she has to say. And meanwhile, I don't know about you guys watching, but I think we were all real nervous. Like, where are the guys? Because, you know, as soon as Joe and as soon as Chris see this Johnny the Greek and Penny, like, you're like, because we know he's there. She's like, oh, he's coming. So now we're like, oh, God, as soon as they see that guy, there is going to be a brawl. But in the interim, Melissa comes in and she says, hey, I need to talk to you with Teresa alone. They confront her together and she starts saying, no, Teresa told me to say this. Teresa told me to say this and this. And she says, very good piece of information. Teresa knew that you, to Melissa, were going to be set up last year at the Posh Fashion
exactly.
Show.
Exactly.
That's where the bomb really got dropped.
Doesn't it make you wonder, remember at that Posh Fashion Show from last season, Jacqueline got a text?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder who was that text from?
Yeah.
That's an unknown. We don't know who that text was from. Was it from Penny? I don't know.
I still say it was production overstepping.
It could have been.
Somebody on the inside.
It could have
overstepping.
But we still don't know.
That's interesting. I never thought back about that.
Yeah, where that text came from. And that was a text that pretty much like set everything off.
That made it seem like there was something that this was being fixed.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
but I agree with you, Grant. I think that Teresa was definitely like the puppeteer, you know, and kicked all of this off, just like we were saying. But I think it got out of hand. It got so much out of hand. She lost control. She couldn't control anything. And just these people started going with it. Penny, her husband.
Yep. And now she doesn't know what to do because she clearly can't take any of... She can't
show anything.
She can't show anything because then she's going to look like, you know, her family's going to be ruined and it's going to be her fault. And she's denies. So now we're stuck at the finale, which is coming up next. And we know that the fight happens.
Another fight at another Posh event.
Weird. So who, in your opinion, deserves to throw the punch first?
Chris
or Joe?
Well, Chris.
First of all, I have to say, I'm tired of fights with the husband at events. Like, come on. Can we move past that?
Especially Joe Gorga. He needs to take a Xanax.
Well, he could reel it in
a
little
bit. I'm just over it. Yeah. But to answer your question, who deserves to throw the first punch? Definitely Chris Lurita.
I agree.
100%.
You don't go after children.
Attacking a child. And then, mind you, remember what Penny said? Oh, I work for autism. What the hell is she talking about?
Autism.
I teach autism.
What is she talking about?
I want to go around saying that.
I'm pretty sure you can't
teach autism.
It's a disease.
What
and
is
you
she talking about?
She's trying so hard to like quickly relate to her.
Man.
You know, it's
brutal.
So obvious.
So bad.
I do think Teresa's behind it, but I think that there's probably somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Who that somebody is, I don't know. Is it Kim D? I'd like to think that Kim D pretty much, she just throws it out there to all of them, you know?
Kim D is a snake.
She's a shit starter, but I feel like at least she owns her shit.
Yeah, she does.
To a certain degree,
she does.
Do you think Joe Giudice knows any of the any bit of reality of this whole situation between Teresa and anything that was orchestrated that may or may not have been?
Here's my little thought.
I don't think so.
Okay, so we all know that Joe Giudice, it's rumored that he was having an affair in Teresa because we saw that last season from the reunion. He's talking to the side, you know, all that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if whoever he was having an affair with could be behind this. Boom.
Ooh, there's a
because,
twist for you.
Yeah, just
ba-bam.
Because... Well, because, you know, he was talking shit about his wife, calling her all kinds of names.
C-word?
Calling her the C-word on camera. We know
what
that
an idiot,
having,
by the way.
I mean, what an idiot. You are mic'd and you're on camera.
And you're on camera.
Why? On... What is... I'm sorry.
They don't
realize
it.
You cannot be more freaking stupid.
That's the story producer's dream.
They're
just
like,
get stuff
perfect.
That people don't realize they're on mic.
These guys are stupid enough to expose horrible lies that... I mean, it's like... It's just... And Teresa is not... I mean, if this is true and she's involved, like, hello, you're on camera. These people want to be 15 minutes of fame. They're going to screw you over in the end to get their 15 minutes. Penny doesn't give a crap about you now. She's on the show, basically.
Yeah.
So she's the new Kim D. So good for you. Like,
I think
I think there might be something to that. Whoever he was having an affair with could be roped into this
because
we don't know who she is. We don't know her connection to this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably somebody that's right under Teresa's nose.
Yep.
Everybody's nose.
Yep.
So
interesting.
I wouldn't be.
Maybe it's Penny.
Ooh, with that horse head, I would hope he has one.
I don't know. I think that'd be a good twist in a soap opera, but I just don't think it goes that deep with the show. I don't know if I don't know if there another woman would surface. I don't know if she'd be smart to.
Say she would surface. I'm just.
Well,
I think there's
behind the scenes. If she's part of it, though, it's going to come out because the truth always does.
True.
We'll see on the next episode.
All right, is it time for a little news and gossip?
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
right, so I have just a little bit of news and gossip on our favorite housewives. So a spinoff is coming. Mm. Have you heard? Right. So the Manzo family gets a spinoff, which I'm not surprised. But at the same time, I'm like, I hope that they're going to be more interesting than what they've been, you know, well, in the past on the show. Yeah, because greenlit it's a little sleeper.
They greenlit a pilot. I don't know if it's the full series, but I mean, you know, why not?
It's called Manzo'd with Children. How appropriate. But I guess it also means we might not, you know, see the family, you know, on the actual show, which I think that's a good move because I think that they've kind of really distanced themselves from everything that's been happening. Really, the only person you see interacting with everybody is Caroline.
And even then, she's half in.
She's half in. So I think this is a good move for the family. Hopefully, they will be interesting, you know, bring something into the table, but that is coming. And then my last bit of news and gossip. So there's a rumor that Teresa, she might not be able to endorse Melania hair care anymore, or basically that they don't want her to endorse it anymore because of all, you know,
the indictments,
all the legal issues and woes. In terms of her other brands, she's been fine, but this one in particular, they're just like, I don't know. Okay. So,
I'm not surprised she's going to lose out somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, she's got her little mini empire there, and if one thing happens, she's not all out. So, I mean, that's the only one that she's associated with, but she's not real. Is this true? She's not like really like all in on.
I don't know.
Featuring her.
I don't think so. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem like she's as involved with her as her books and her cooking stuff.
Exactly,
but maybe
because that's truly like her creation. Whereas the hair care, like she just slapped her name.
Yeah. So it's not a shock.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So are we ready for some predictions?
Yes.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
I have one.
Predictions.
I have one. I couldn't even wait for it to finish.
Well, all right. We all know that next week is the season finale, which has been a long season. So, all right. You can't hold it.
I can't. I'm so excited. Chris Lurita's throwing the first punch. Joe Gorga.
That was mine.
Gorga is going to try and get in there and, like, table flip like his sister, but he's going to get cut off by Chris Lurita and it's going to be so satisfying. Chris Lurita's throwing the first punch. Clearly there's a fight. We know that's happening and it's going to start with Chris Lurita.
And I think that because Chris is going in on it, that Caroline is going to go off and we're going to see like old school Caroline just like ripping into people because her brother was so upset. So I think we're finally going to get a little glimpse into how even she would just throw down with Danielle. Like, I'm ready.
Well, I'm not going to predict the obvious because we all know a fight is a coming. I mean, come on, let's be real. It's the Posh Fashion show, it's the end of the season. So we know that's coming. What I'm going to predict is that I think that shiitake mushrooms is really going to hit the fan for Teresa. I think that all of this is just going to come on her like a ton of bricks.
And I think she's going to admit to some things.
She might. She might.
It would be the time, but I wouldn't be surprised if she continued to deny it all. Yeah. I would not be the least bit surprised.
That's her MO. She doesn't take responsibility.
Next week.
And this posh clothes all over the floor.
All over the floors. Clothes everywhere.
It's going to be so good.
All tacky animal prints.
So good.
We are so happy to be back, and thanks for tuning in. And we will see you next week for the season finale recap show of Real Housewives.
Bye.
Where can we find you?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Marissa. We're so excited about this. We forgot. I'm Lauren Leonelli. You can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my website.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Grant Michael R.
And you can find me, Deanna Vaughn, on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Deanna V, and DeannaVaughn.com. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.